May my words and the thoughts of all our hearts be acceptable to God. Amen. Jesus came to Bethany, where his friends Mary and Martha and Lazarus lived, and they hosted a dinner for him. There are all sorts of things we could say about this passage, and one commentator, William Barclay, who often looks at the human side of the gospel stories, comments that there's quite a lot in it about love. There is Martha. Martha is the practical one of the family. We read about her in Luke's gospel preparing a meal and getting agitated because her sister Mary isn't helping. And here she is again. Martha served, it said. Serving, showing her love and affection in practical ways. And some of us are like that, I expect. Then there's Mary. Perhaps she's a more outgoing, people sort of person than Martha. And she makes this over-the-top, extravagant gesture, pouring some valuable ointment over Jesus' feet and wiping them with her long hair. Her action is controversial. Judas chides her about the cost, but we're told by some scholars that in that society it was not seemly for a woman to touch a man who was not her husband. So to wipe his feet with her hair in that way was something out of the ordinary, perhaps quite shocking. Mary's actions are very loving, very intimate, very personal. Jesus has restored her brother to life. She's overjoyed. She's full of gratitude and love. Mary's action perhaps invites us to be extravagant in our love for others, in our love for God. Judas is quite a contrast. Someone said, Judas has just seen an action of surpassing loveliness, and he called it an action of extravagant waste. Judas counts the cost of things. What's in this for me? Love doesn't do that. Love gives all, goes the extra mile for the loved one, pours valuable ointment over someone's feet or whatever the equivalent is in our day, does something really special, leaves a scent of goodness in the air, as it were, which all can appreciate. But of course, love is two-way. Jesus accepts Mary's loving action graciously, understanding the way it was meant. His words can sound a bit dismissive of the poor, but he's simply saying that the poor can be cared for at any time. But a kindness done to him had to be done now. There is danger ahead. Soon he will be on his way to Jerusalem, where he must face the hatred of his enemies. And Mary's action can be seen as anticipating his death, symbolically anointing his body for burial. Jesus' love will be shown as he goes to the cross. Another commentator draws a parallel between Mary in today's gospel and the father of the prodigal son, which some of us heard about in the gospel reading last week. The one who welcomes his wastrel son with open arms. And we can see this as a gesture again of generous, extravagant love, giving us just a picture of the love that God has for us. And we often talk about that love as love like a parent, and we've got parents here today with their children. We know what that kind of love is all about. Today we've been glad to welcome Marie for baptism. She's beginning a journey of faith, and it's good to help her along the way. And baptism is a sign of God's love that starts from the beginning of our lives, from even before we were born. It's also about the love that we have for one another, as friends, as members of families, members of the church. That song that we just heard, Stand By Me, it can be interpreted in different ways. Marie's got friends and family standing by her as godparents who have promised to support her, as people who've come today to support her. But as she travels on her Christian journey, Marie will say to God, as all of us do, stand by me in this road that I'm travelling. Stand by me in this time of difficulty that I'm experiencing. Stand by me as I move to this new situation, this new relationship, this new place. And the other people to whom Marie may want to say, stand by me, are us, the church. The Apostle Paul, writing in that letter to the Corinthians, that church at Corinth, describes the church as like a body, all sorts of different parts, limbs and organs, linked together as something that works as one. He's talking about a diverse group of people. He wrote 2,000 years ago, but it's true today. If we look around our church today, or indeed in the wider church, people with different gifts and skills and attributes and personalities trying to work together. The idea of a body with different people forming up a body was not new. But Paul says that the church is Christ's body, that that's what draws us all together. And in our baptism, Marie becomes part of that body, this diverse family brought together by God. And Paul tells us that all are valued and needed. The members of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And we can often think of that as little children, babies, but also of perhaps older people also, and not able to feel they can't as contribute as much as they could. But those people are indispensable. We can stand by each other, by prayer, by a supportive word, by offering welcome. So baptized into God's family, those who are weaker, those who are stronger, people here in this place, but also the worldwide church. And the most important thing, perhaps, a family bound together by love and fellowship, the love of God, and our love for one another. So, Marie, welcome to God's family, and may God continue to bless you and all of us. Amen.